Hey there, friends of Bang Upstate. This is LP. I just wanted to take a couple seconds to frame up this episode. It has been a long time since we have gotten together to record. Jeff, Derek, and I have all been intermittently busy in our personal lives with a variety of things going on. But some interesting things have popped up in the recent past, so we decided to get together and discuss that. I won't go into any further detail as this episode covers that plenty well. But it's just good to get the two of them and myself back together just to catch up after a long time, talk about music and potential projects for this year. Hope you enjoy it. And we intend to be a little bit more frequent, but we'll also go with what life gives us. So here's hoping we can be in your ears a little bit more often. Enjoy this episode and feel free to reach out in all the various channels if you have any questions or thoughts, and or even some good dad jokes. Check you later.
Yo,
Jeff Lafford is in the house.
There we go.
And in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. All right.
There we go.
Okay. So, real quick recap, everybody. We're just getting started on this podcast for the fifth time. And I have learned the hard way 3 times that if I try to use my Bluetooth headset, it's going to shut me down. So I was still able to hear you guys talking.
Oh, okay.
But you couldn't chime in there.
So we're going to start this over for the last time.
Okay.
But first of all, hi, everybody.
Hello. Hey.
Happy 2020. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, heck yeah.
It's been a long time since we've chatted, and we need to do this more often, but we do have a topic, so we're going to jump into that. And Derek, you did such a great job framing it up in the last recording.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to do that one more time and say, Derek, set us up.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
So, yeah, I've got this old Leader Dogs fan that I've been in contact with through Facebook for maybe the last 9-10 years. We stay in contact here and there. He asks me how I'm doing, and we share. I tell him about some of the projects I've been involved with, and he tells me what's going on with him and this and that. And so the other day he shared a YouTube video with me of some guy that does reviews. It looks like he does reviews of older Christian bands. I'm not totally sure. But he did a review on the Leader Dogs for the Blind debut album, Lemonade. And it was a good review. And we were just kind of all stoked the fact that people are still interested in that album, which is literally 25 years old. Is that not? Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 25 years old. There's still people interested in it and talking about it. And that kind of rejuvenated a new discussion on possibly doing a project for 2020 and discussing, you know, how to do it, how we want to do it, if we do it, how we want to do it, and all those types of things that go into to building a new project. So here we are discussing it.
Here we are discussing.
If I remember correctly, I want to say, like, even, I don't know how long ago, a long time ago, Lyndon, you came to Toronto and we just kind of like, I think we just mentioned it briefly off the cuff, like, wow, that would be really cool to do like a 25-year Leader Dogs thing. What that looks like, I don't know. It was a real brief discussion.
Was it like a couple of years ago he went for work and you guys met up?
It was. And right. I thought that was cool because, I mean, I hadn't seen Lyndon in years. And I don't know that, Lyndon, you'd even been to Canada really before, so it was kind of cool to, you know, show them around town
listen
to some records and we talked about the idea of doing this
2020 year. that was the the date.
That's it, man.
That was the date. Yeah. Well, what happened was I had been to Canada plenty, but never up that far to Toronto. So I think early on when we were forming Bang Upstate, the real impetus was, you guys want to jam again? Do we want to do this? And then I think we went through some of the talk of whether or not we do Leader Dogs or whether we move on. And I was glad that we moved on, to be honest with you. I like exploring with being upstate. And so I've kind of put it out, you know, in the back of my mind at this point. But you're right, Derek, as of November, I think it was November 5th or something like that, 1985 right. is when Lemonade dropped. So if we did a 25-year and tried to hit that, you know, around that time frame, that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah.
The thing I that stood out to me about this dude's review is that you really can't get the record anywhere. I mean, it's not
streaming. Yeah.
It's not on any of the streaming services. Occasionally I'll see it 40, you know, like on Amazon or something like that, but I don't know where these people are even getting, you know, copies of it. So to have it be out of print for 23 years,
right,
still getting reviewed is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend George actually said for him to get, because he wants a, hang on, let me look at the text, the message here. He said, right here, I found three copies on eBay, one to use for $12, one used for $15, and one brand new for $41. So
that's because
he wanted to look at the album credits and stuff.
Yeah.
So
that amazes me, because that's still fetch for a record that wasn't like a big hit record, that to command that kind of dollar even in this day and age, that's surprising, man. That's and it's encouraging.
Yeah. Actually, he wanted the recipe. He wanted, I think it's Linda's recipe for lemonade. He wants that recipe.
Yeah.
So
which
that's the motivation.
I'd gladly give him that for $41. You know what I mean? Per glass.
No. Right.
So I guess, so then that started a text, cause you did a screen grab, Derek, of your conversation with the guy, and
his name is George Rivera.
Okay. Now,
George.
Is that the guy? That's the friend of yours, or the guy that did the review, or both?
No, just this guy just an old friend and fan. His name is George Rivera, and he shared that video with me.
Oh, okay. Because he reached out to me recently on Facebook and to connect, and we have. But yeah, I didn't know that you guys were in touch at all. So that's cool.
Okay.
Yeah, so
good for you. I'm just kidding. Good.
Thanks, jerk.
So you shared that screen capture with us, and then was like in your conversation with him, you were saying, I don't know if, you know, Lyndon would be interested in it. I mean, I just want to write and publish music. And if this is something,
right.
This is an avenue that we feel is worth our while, I'm willing to explore it. So
sure.
We decided, why don't we discuss it? And then I thought, well, if we're going to discuss it, why don't we try to use Anchor 12 times and finally get it to work? And
yeah, there you go.
And then record it for our sake and for posterity. And so that in 25 years, when somebody's like,
right,
I wonder if they're going to do a 50th year, we'll be like, yeah, we did this back in 2020. So anyway, I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on the pros and cons. And I think there are cons.
Oh, for sure.
But ultimately, it kind of, especially in these days of independent music, it really kind of comes down to us and what we want to do. So what are some of the reasons? Let's start off with some of the reasons why you guys think it would be a good reason to do it, to put together 10 or 12 songs of and come out with Lemonade Refresher.
Fresh Lemonade.
Fresh Lemonade.
I like that. That'd be a cool, cool album title, actually. Fresh Lemonade. That's awesome. 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really see any cons to making any music or publishing any music. That's just what we do, no matter how hard sometimes we try to shelve it. But as artists and creative people, it's just you guys have, I'm sure, been there. It's like, you know, why do I waste my time with this stuff? But
Yeah, but it's part of who you are.
This is what we do. Yeah. We've been doing it for so long. It's our outlet. It's our creative outlet, whatever. But as far as pros, we already have somewhat of a, there's fans out there. We'd have to find them. We'd have to dig in a little bit into social media and maybe some different. There's an established fan base out there still, waiting for that same sound, which was pretty unique, what other pros? Just it would be fun. I think it'd be fun to try to see where it went, and see what could come out of it and see what it would sound like, things like that. And just work with you guys again is always fun. So that's me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And Jeff,
I guess I would say, like, kind of the way that Derek feels about it. I think we kind of do. I think the reason we do what we do now is because, like, we play music because we like to do it, and the pressure's off.
Yeah.
We just want to do it because we like it, and whether this sold a record or a thousand, 100,000 copies of the record, I don't think that really matters to us one way or the other, and I don't think that drives any of the Bang Up State stuff that we do or whatever. It's just really, we just do it because it's a chance for, the three of us to get together and hang out virtually and write some music and just have some fun, and that's that. So I think, to kind of, I guess, echo what Derek said, I think it would be kind of fun just to see where things would go. I think from a downside perspective, I don't know. I mean, I think that, I don't know. It's hard to, I guess, kind of look at the downsides, because I think if you're not in it to sell a million units, then who really cares? Like, let's just do it, have some fun with it, put something out. And I think that, I look at a guy like Cell Dweller, who's, kind of rehashed a lot of the old Circle of Dust stuff, mm-hmm. and brought mm-hmm. that up. How well that's done for him or whatever, I don't know. But, I just thought, personally, as a fan from back in the day, thought it was kind of cool that he was doing it. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if the fans are out there and people are interested, yeah, man, why not? I mean, I think if you're going to do it, this is the year to do it, given just it's a 25 year. It's,
Right.
Yeah, man.
I got three fans right now that I could, how many fans you guys got?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, even some of the bands that I got into after, like the bands that I played with and whatever, after being with Leader Dogs, they were Leader Dogs fans at the time, and we're like, oh man, like I love your record. Oh, cool. This stuff is awesome. I was like, thanks. I wasn't actually on it, but it was fun to be part of the band. And is there people out there who might be interested? I kind of think so.
Oh yeah, they're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, Lyndon, what do you think?
Well, I think I could probably come up with three fans to match Derek.
Present company excluded.
And
maybe four. I got. I just thought of a fourth.
Oh, okay. Well, let me.
Yeah.
Hang on.
All right.
Look, I gotta write this down. Wait a sec.
Yeah, because if I don't want to go into the next presidential debate without being able to edge you out, Derek.
Right.
If I can't get more votes than you. No, so there's a few things that are cons to me, but they're not glaring, but it's just, these are just some of the reasons why I think we've passed in the past. We kind of said, let's do new direction for us because of a few reasons. One is this, Leader Dogs for the Blind, the Lemonade record, was basically Grant Mormon and myself writing music in a storage shed. So do I think that we can replicate that sound, the three of us? Oh yeah. Hell yeah. And I think we can do it just as well, if not better. But it doesn't change the fact that you've only got 10 songs as your sort of recipe. And that was
okay.
A very different writing process. So that's right. That's one thing to think about. And I'm not, that one doesn't bother me. None of these bother me, by the way. But the second thing is sometimes, when a a group reaches, or a, you know, people get together and reach way back and pull something forward, it's almost like saying, well, let's go back in our history and find the one thing that actually worked, and then let's just keep doing that. which, again, doesn't bother me, because on the scale of things, I think we've all had some success after Leader Dogs. And everything, every group is different. Every vibe is different. Every project is different. Every combination of people is different. So it doesn't, that one doesn't, again, bother me either, but I just, you know, there's the potential for people to be like, oh yeah, well, of course, you know, they're reaching back to the one thing that were
the, you know, the glory days.
The glory right. days. Yeah.
The glory days.
But the biggest for me is,
you still there, dude?
There you are.
Well, I'm here.
There you go.
Well, that was scary.
I was getting a call. The biggest for me is just the, you know, the fact that Lemonade was on, you know, REX Records. REX Records was a Christian label. And I just, based on where my life is now and where my views are, would not want to be in that industry at all.
Okay.
And if I was, I would, first of all, the Lemonade record, if you look close enough, and you really have to do digging, because we used the lyrical style, which was very sort of abstract and very hidden.
Vague.
But
vague, yeah.
There was definitely some politics in there. You know what I mean?
Yes, there was, yeah.
And this would be a great year to come out with a political record, trust me. So that part would almost write itself, in my opinion. But my worldview has changed, and my thinking has changed. And the only way I would want to do it, if like Christian magazines started coming around for interviews or something, I would want to be able to just be gut level honest with them and tell them the truth, which is what I do believe and what I don't believe anymore.
Sure. Yeah.
Which in itself to do it, but it also could be a reason. You know, I don't have any cynicism towards the church or Christianity. I do have my little issues with the Christian industry. I just feel like that's so anti what the whole point of the whole thing is about. But I, again, I don't care. Like, because I don't, even with Lemonade, we were like, who cares if we're on Aria and say what we want to say. And we did.
Right.
But you guys remember, I mean, there were times when, I mean, the only real interviews that we got were like from Christian magazines. And then there were a few times when we were touring where we show up to a venue and they're like, okay, we want you to come play, but we want to know how you're going to minister from the stage. Like, I remember that specifically at the Union over in Minneapolis. And we were like, okay, well, that's not what we do. We're musicians.
Yeah. Right.
We'll conjure something up for you to make you happy with our.
we'll toss Jesus in there somewhere, and people will clap, and yeah.
I mean, I can. I was in the church long enough. I can bake up a prize. I can, you know. I can take a. I'm sure there's like an app, or maybe we need to create one called the Sermon Generator, where I can just like toss together three or four key words and riff on it. But no, I don't want to be like, again, I don't want to be cynical about it, but the truth is like, it's not where I want to be as a musician. I'm
right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would want to, I guess I'll put it this way. I would only do it if I knew that we were being gut level honest. And if that, you know, that could oppose what that industry stands for.
Is there still an industry? I'm so out of touch with the Christian rock and metal scene. Is it thriving? Is it any insight on, do you have any, I mean, are you following any bands or?
I think here,
I know Heaven's Metal magazine's still around. I'm friends with the guy. What's his face? in Austin. He lives in Austin, actually. I don't remember his name, but anyways.
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. I think just I would just say in general, like, I don't think in the Christian world that I understand, it seems like there's either stuff that's very like ministry focused, like there's straight up a lot of okay. music that's very like worship type music, and then there seems to be
Kanye.
I don't know, like even like I like you know some of those like those contemporary Christian David Meese type. You know, does that even still exist? Man, I don't even know. Are there any? Honestly, I just don't know. I don't really follow a lot of that stuff, okay. so I'm not really.
Yeah, I just wonder if it's bigger than it was, smaller. I just don't know.
I tend to think you know at this point I think it's smaller and I remember talking to like one of our all of our mutual friends once and I remember him saying to me, he's like, man, did you ever get out at a good time? Because things were like just in general. I think just music. You know, right. I think just across the board, like used to be back in the day, you know, we could go to, you know, the GMA awards or whatever. And it was like a real industry thing. And then now it's kind of like it's a room with a phone in it, or, you know, it's like, right. what are labels anymore? What are, I just think in general,
well, right. just changed. The whole industry's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a good point too. Cause the whole industry's changed as a whole. So how's that affected the Christian, part
yeah
of it.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't really follow.
Interesting it. Huh interesting.
Well, the fact that the three of us are drawing a blank on that makes me happy, because I wouldn't want to go into it with any frame of reference to, you know,
I'd
agree with that.
I have no frame of reference, right?
Yeah, I do know that there are still Christian radio stations, believe it or not. I do know that there are still big Christian like Winterfest, like, or Winter Jam, is that it? Where like
okay.
three or four or five or 10 big name acts go around and play, and
Big festival type.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing. Okay.
Like the Newsboys.
Like those guys.
Yeah, those guys. But I the only other exposure I have to it is I found this podcast that absolutely makes fun of Christian musicians, and it's called Good Christian Fun, and it's pretty hilarious. But that's my only frame of reference. That being said, you know, again, I you know, even then we said what we wanted to say, but my worldview was pretty different then. It was very informed by the church, and now it's very much not. So I just would want to, I, we can only make art if we can be completely honest, and
right.
You know,
that's yeah, I get that.
So if we're cool with that, like I, you know, art is where you put your most colorful, feelings. And so there might be some like, you know, I think even with the Bang Upstate stuff, there's some harsh tones in there about some of the experiences I've had in the last couple of years. And that's what I would expect we would do with even Leader Dogs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But,
yeah, I'd agree with that.
But I guess.
So
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, so you think that if we did release an album for 2020, that we blogs, you know, internet blogs, social media sites would reach out and want to know about it. You think there'd be interest from the general, well, I guess the old guard, the old guard, I guess, but still around, like Heaven's Metal still around somewhat in a digital form, I think.
Yeah.
Doug, what's his name? Doug something.
Doug Van Pelt.
Yeah. Doug Van Pelt. Yes. That's the man. So you think there would be interest, some kind of interest in the Leader Dogs project, where we would kind of get sucked back into that industry, I guess.
I think that I don't know that we would get sucked back into anything that we don't want, but I'm just saying if there's any exposure that we're going to have a natural lead, it would be that one, because that's the industry we were in. So like if you Grammatrain getting back together,
okay.
I think if those three guys got together and made a record under a different, people wouldn't, I wouldn't think twice about it. But if they got together and they said, we're going to do a new Grammatic record, in my mind,
yeah,
says we're sort of putting back on the mindset and the frame that we were.
Well, let me ask you this, man. Do you think that, despite the fact that we were, how do I say this? Yes, we were on a label where there was a lot of Christian artists and stuff, and at the time.
What's up, Linda? Okay, thank you.
Like, I guess I wonder at this point in the game, is it like, how big did we actually get enough? Like, I understand that a lot of what, if any frame of reference that people would know who we were, typically came from the Christian industry. But at this point,
right,
I don't know, does it matter? Like, I kind of think, you know, if those people, I guess that's my look through the lens, is to say, you know what, if the Christian, you know, kids that were, you know, 18 years old, 19, whatever, that were buying the Leader Dogs record back then, if they're the, I hate to say it this way, but the judgy Christian types of today that are going to go, you guys are putting a record out, but it doesn't, you know, and it's cool and all, but why doesn't it say Jesus and how can whatever? Because that's not the record we wanted to put out. And I don't really freaking care whether you like it or don't like it or don't buy it or do whatever. This is the record we wanted to put out in 2020, and that's what we do. And
yeah,
I don't know. Does that, maybe I'm not trying to sound aggressive or anything, but it's just, I don't know. I guess I just don't really, I don't really care what other people think about whether, you know, if I want to put a record out that is like, these are the guys that we worked together and we were writing really cool music and we did this. And if, you know, and that's it. Like, I don't really care if I just want it to sound really good.
I mean, we were fence riders. We were kind of fence riders back then.
Yeah.
People, like I said, people question our intentions.
Sure.
We were somewhat controversial, whatever, because we were like a king on a King's X kind of fence. You know, people weren't really sure where we stood.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Not
dude.
Fence riders, I guess. I don't want to say we're 1 foot in hell or
no, but I think there was
1 foot in heaven.
There were those bands, and there are those bands that were straight up blatantly Jesus freaks, and that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's your vibe, do it. That's cool. I support that. That's great. That's not the vibe we were. And that's not necessarily, you know, on a personal note, that's not necessarily the type of music I necessarily want to put out. But that is whether I'm in a band that has anything to do with Jesus or not, does not necessarily mean, you know, I love or don't love Jesus. Like, it has nothing to do. I'm just putting a record out. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to have to put a record out and have to answer to a bunch of different people about how, you know, well, how come you didn't say this, or how come you didn't, you know, if you should have been talking about Jesus, you have a platform, you got a microphone, you need to be shouting it from the rooftop. You know, it says in Ephesians that yeah, we're done, you know,
right, type
of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with all that. And it helps me to hear your perspectives on that, because I and at the end of the day, I don't really care either. And again, in the scale of things, we weren't that big of a name. You know, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think. Right.
It's not like Petra gets back together. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Exactly.
So I would be fine with it. You know, obviously, we've all liked the sound, and that sound still plays well in 2020, and you know, going to a more loop based and kind of riff rock and a little bit of funk in there. Absolutely. I'm down with that. Like I'd have a lot of fun with that. So, and I was thinking about it this week, and you know, I've gone back through some of the music we've written in the last couple of years. There's a few of the, sketches that we
sketches. Yeah. Oh,
There's a couple I think would work really well for that sound.
Like Bear? Is Bear one of them? That just popped in my head.
Yes.
Maybe?
I think, yes.
Uh-huh. It's got a big riff in it. Yeah.
I also think there was that one we kind of redid a little bit called The Resurrected Me. That could be really, you know, kind of a big guitar sound.
Right.
Anyway, all that to say, I think we've...
Oh, yeah, that was five, cool.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere between 3 and 5 sketches already that I think would work for the sound. So it would be a matter of building on that. And then, you know, I think we would want to keep it simple like we did with Lemonade, which is, you know, 2 guitars, bass, time, just drum tracks, and then some loops. I don't know if I would want to put the sample in, like the vocal sample. Remember those?
Yeah.
Oh, the bites? The audio bites?
Yeah. I mean, we could, but I also could do without those. It'd be harder to clear those. Like, we probably would have gotten in a lot of trouble.
Oh, you know, that's true.
I mean, we could take random.
Even if there's, isn't there like a length limit? I mean,
I don't know that. Then maybe there could be, but I think, yeah, to your point, if we were to, I could live without it. It's not a huge, like, whatever. Like, I don't even know that that's super. Yeah. I mean, I think it really worked well for the record at the time. Now, I don't know. I don't know if it's.
Right, that's true. Yeah, it depends on how industrial we want it to be sounding, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we can do industrial and do loops and do some vocal, like, spoken things that are, like, that public domain that we take off the internet or whatever. But we were taking things directly out of movies, and we did not get that stuff cleared. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So... didn't want to do that.
Yeah, well, and I think that depending on the samples that you did use, like, they weren't just, they were, yes, they were some random samples, but they were specifically chosen because they fit. It fit the song at the time, or it fit the, you know, whatever. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it, yeah, whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Never mind. It's not important.
And I wrote the lyrics around some of the samples, you know, because it'll fit, definitely though, like loops, you know, like rhythmic loops would be like the core of, you know, a lot of zombie that, cause we were very influenced by zombie,
right.
Kind of zombie meets early 90s Soundgarden. So you had that riff rock, and then you also had the loops as,
mm-hmm.
So that would be kind of the, so I would, we would have to keep it simple because it's already February. In fact, it's almost March.
Right.
If we wanted to try to land like early November, which I think would be a great time because presidential elections in America, and it's before the holidays and
coronavirus.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff going on. Yeah.
End times.
Yeah, that's it.
So, I think there's definitely some messages that we could put out that would be politically, have political undertones, and this would be the year to do it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, heck yeah. I think we should try to just demo a few tracks and listen to them and say, does this sound like a Leader Dog song? And just go from there and just tweak them as we need them to kind of get the sound we want. I'm not sure if we know what we want, but I think we'll know. I think we'll know when we hear it. It's just sound like the next evolution of Leader Dogs for the Blind.
Yeah. I mean, I think even the stuff we were working on prior, like a lot of the Bang Up State stuff, like it was heavy, but it wasn't like Leader Dogs was specific. It was heavy. And so I think, you know, there are songs that we have that could easily be, you know, sketches that we've worked on that we haven't gotten to yet that could easily translate well into that. And mm-hmm. just, you know, you just crank up the gain, man.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, because I changed my approach on my guitar when we decided to go towards Bang Up State on purpose. Like, I wanted it to be a little bit more club, dance, club.
And right.
So, mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I turned some of the, like, throttle off of the guitar and made it a little bit more of a rhythm instrument. But if we're going to do this, I would, you know, open it way back up and then just make it saturated, filthy guitar rock.
So, and but there's definitely some songs, like the riffs are there with a little bit of like tweaking. It would definitely sound like Leader Dogs.
I think so.
Cool.
So, I mean, I'm cool with it. And I guess what we can do is, if you guys want to go back through the sketches and like, if something like stands out to you, you know, we could say, hey, let's put this forward and start developing it. Eric, with your approach, like, let's do two or three and see how they're sounding. I wouldn't want to release them like we are with Bang Upstate, where we just release them.
Yeah. No, right. just for us to really listen to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we can see what we think, see what's happening, you know, if we're vibing on it, if we feel like, okay, yeah, we've got 10 of these songs in us.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd have to, I'd have to get like your tracks by, you know, late August, so that we could mix everything and have it out by November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm down with it, but you guys gotta help me out with your,
you know, gotta drive.
You gotta bring the goods.
Bring the goods. Drop the goods off at the, you know. So we can put out there for sale.
yeah. So I'm down for that. I think this will be a much better. Last year kind of got out of control, I think, in terms of some time and that you know, things just kind of slipped away there. So it's I'm looking to sink some teeth into new stuff and to help.
Heck yeah.
Help drive some of this.
Right on.
Do some driving. Let's do some driving.
Who's gonna tell Ryan? Anybody?
Okay, rock, paper, scissors. Ready?
Yeah.
The funny thing is that there are moments when it feels like it's like we all of a sudden transported back to the van and it's like 96 and then things fast forward back again to to today. So it's kind of it's pretty funny, man.
Every time I hear the song No Diggity, I think I'm back in the van. I'm back in the van.
Oh dude, I love that
on
song.
Repeat for all the states, I think.
Yeah, a couple of states for sure.
Awesome.
All right, well,
that's a great album.
We can rock, paper, scissors via text to see who tells Ryan. But why don't we wait until we get a couple tracks and see if we...
Yeah, let's do that. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, let's see where it goes and see what we think.
That's cool.
All right.
Meantime, I'll post this as an episode and then, you know, put it out on the media. As you'll notice, I keep pretty quiet on social media until I have something to say. And so there's been nothing, but that's because I want social media to be my bitch. I don't want to be its bitch, if you see what I'm saying.
I do.
That's a great point.
Yeah, man.
For sure. Because it is, I am its bitch, for sure.
I have been I'm on 7-8 months social media free. And I got to tell you, it's just this morning I got a screen text or a screen grab from my sister, and she sent me a conversation that was happening on Facebook. And I was like, the first thought that came to my mind was, I am so glad that I don't pay attention to this shit anymore. So,
wow.
That's awesome. Do you find it just like in terms of, give me some of the benefits. Like, what do you find that in terms of is it just free your mind? You just find that you have more time. Like what kind of, walk me through it. What's the big benefits?
So the biggest benefit, and this could be, it will be at some point, but I will recap for you. The biggest benefit for me is I generally have less cynicism and sarcasm and angst. Like I'm much more patient right now and much more at ease because I'm not constantly like running loops through my brain about how people are seeing things and thinking about things. I think... Honestly, I love social media, but as soon as it turns political or religious, I am out, because those things are so personal. You need to be in the same room to work them out. And people say the most heinous things because they can hide behind their keyboards. And it's brutal. But I think more than anything, honestly, I also feel more creative, because you can spend, you would be surprised at how many minutes and therefore hours you devote to social media in a given week. And if you think about our lives in 1995, when we were putting out Lemonade, we wouldn't have spent a second on social media because it wasn't around, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
So just imagine if you can tabulate the number of minutes you spend on social media in a given week. And
you can on your iPhone. Your iPhone will tell you how much you spend.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So even if it's, let's say it's 3 hours a week. What could you do with 3 hours that you could have back, given back to you? And, you know, the other thing too is it was a distraction from my relationships. So, like, instead of actually being in the room with the person I'm with, sometimes I'm kind of listening, but I'm more paying attention to what's going on in social media. And that's not, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to rail against it. I think there's a lot of positives. It's just like any other communication tool. There's the good comes with the bad and so on. But it's especially right now, I think it's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why America is so polarized right now, is because people are so harsh with each other when they wouldn't be if they were talking to each other in the same room.
Right. It's easy to hide behind a screen and...
Yep.
And
sound say whatever you want,
whatever. But yeah, if you actually had to stand and look somebody in the eye and say some of the things, you know, some of us would say, it, you know, it's harsh, man.
It is harsh. And so from, and you have to consider this too. And most people don't care about this anymore, but any service that's quote unquote free, you're actually, instead of you paying for the product, you basically are the product. You're the, you know, they're using your eyeballs to send you things. And I found the last couple of times I was on Instagram being like, man, you know how if you don't drink soda for like 6 months and then you have a Coke, you're like, oh my gosh, it's so hard on your throat. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's sugary. Man, that's, yeah.
Yeah. When you go back to social media and you haven't been on it for 6 months, you'll be amazed at how much crap there is, A, and B, how many advertisements there are. It's like, I forgot that I had to skim past, you know, about every fifth or sixth post on Instagram is an ad now. And I, for the longest time, I was trying to train it, like, this is irrelevant, I don't need this ad. But they just keep feeding them up, and it's like, I don't want them to know what I'd search for on eBay and then give me an ad for it on Instagram. I just don't
right.
want.
Yeah, I get that.
So I will use it. I will use it when we want to promote something, but I will not just allow myself to engage in it right now anymore. And I don't say that in a critical way. Everybody should use it the way they want to. I have found that I have a better disposition and a better outlook on life by just setting it aside. And I would rather enjoy that time doing something else. I've, you know, been getting into reading and meditation and stuff like that. So,
sure.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, no, and that makes sense. I mean, like you say, 3 hours. If I could have an extra 3 hours, you know, to spend with my wife.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. Like that's, yeah, that would be amazing. Instead of, you know, sitting in the room with each other and coming, you know, it's easy to come home and just sit on the couch. Even if sometimes it's the same couch and you're just staring at your phone and you've got the TV on and you've two screen experience. And you're not even talking to each other.
Right.
And that's time that it may not seem like such a big deal now, and now I'm going to sound like an old man. Like, it may not seem like such a big deal now, but there's going to come a time when, you know, money is not the most important thing.
Right.
And time is finite. You know, like, that's once it's gone, it's gone. And so if you don't have that time to spend with the people you care about, whether that be your spouse or your friends or your family, whatever the case may be,
don't do it, you can't get it back, you know? And so that you gotta spend that time with the people you love and tell them you love them, because you may not get that chance again. And again, that may sound like an old man, you know, sounding off or doing whatever, but that's just my vibe. And people are allowed to do whatever the heck they want, but that's, I hear you, dude.
Yeah.
My total screen time last week was, I think it's last, either this week or last week. Mm-hmm. No, it's gotta be, was 14 hours and 27 minutes.
Wow.
And that's split up between Facebook, well, Google Chrome, and some video games, but
yeah,
it adds up.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just think about what your life was like before we had these phones in our pocket.
Oh, dude, Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
It's hard to imagine it in some way, like what it used to be like.
Isn't that fascinating? And I am a cog in the machine because I love new technology. I promote it.
Right.
I'm an early adopter. I'm all over it. Like, I like using my phone to create music. But when one day you look up and you're like, I sat down at 5 p.m. It's now 8 and I haven't done anything. And that's when I'm like, oh, I need to reevaluate some things here.
Right. Yeah.
But some people use that as their entertainment time. Like, instead of watching a movie or whatever, they'll like chill and like whatever. Or people use it that's their way of catching up on the news. But I don't like being advertised to. I also know that they play with the algorithms, and they, you know, there was a famous experiment from Facebook in 2012 where they took a certain, like, a fifth or a tenth of their user base and algorithmically took out all of the positive posts and only served up the negative ones in an effort to see if people's responses would only be angry or have anxiety. And I just don't feel like that's okay. But they can do it because it's their platform.
Right.
So rather than give them that and give them my face every time I want to take a picture, I don't want to be the doomsday guy, but there was a post on, there was a podcast a week ago from the New York Times talking about the fact that there are already software platforms that the police are using in certain cities that have this massive database of people's images that they have freely uploaded because of these social media services. So when I walk out in the public, if there's a police camera and it focuses on my face, it'll be like, oh, that's Lyndon Perry, and this is where he lives, and this is whatever, you know? So I don't think we're ever going to get away from that at this point. I think it's the cat's out of the bag, but I don't want to just freely feed the machine. I'm gonna, you know. So if I have my people, like, I have a group text with my family, and then I have a group text like with you guys, and you know, my kids, and that's all the social I need, I guess. But so just things to think about. I mean, that's just where I'm at. You know, I can tell you, I feel more positive in my life, and so.
That's good.
Worth not doing. So
I hear you, man.
Yeah, really. It's just, yeah, most of it's just a big waste of time. I mean, really, just people comment all day and argue all day for what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Yeah.
And then you just move on to the next argument, the next, you comment on this. It's just, I try to quit Facebook. I quit Facebook for about 3 weeks in November. Because it was affecting my job, but then I kind of found out I needed it for selling. It's handy for selling things. It's handy for promoting things. And at this point, it's hard to kind of totally disconnect from it. It's kind of too ingrained in society. I mean, every business, every restaurant, you go to your Facebook page to find information.
Right.
You know, at least around here.
Yep. Yeah.
So
I will tell you, I mean, Facebook's been the hardest one for me to not be in you know, in touch with. But they have been the most flagrant in terms of how they jack their algorithms around, and
yeah.
So Facebook was the first one I quit, and
I remember that.
Yeah, and I just don't want to go back to it. And I still have Twitter. I never use it. I occasionally use Instagram for like local promotion, But even that, I'm hardly ever on anymore. I don't even really like to use LinkedIn for all the same reasons, but I do occasionally go on there to learn things or stay in touch with companies.
See, that's where it gets tough, because I think as a business, right, I've got a production business, and that's the way, you know, if you're looking for search engine optimization for your website, or you're trying to do whatever, you've got to be feeding these things. You need to be on social media. You need to be, and I hate it. Like, I don't love it. I don't want to sit there, and it's, you know, it's work. It feels like a lot of work to be on social media.
Yeah.
In some sense, but you kind of have to, because that's how you're going to help promote your business and what you do. But I guess it comes down to being disciplined enough to be like, I'm going to do what it is that I need to do.
Right.
But then I'm going to walk away from this. And that's, you know, having that self-discipline, it's not always easy. I fail at it, but you have to.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, if I was in business for myself, Jeff, I would do the same thing. The only tip or trick I might give you there is, it may already be too late, depending on how many people out there had, you know, a connection to you. But like, if you can have separate accounts, like for your business, instead of it being in your name, then you're not drawn to all the other peripheral stuff that's, you know, that's going directly to your personal account.
Yeah. And I do have that. Like, all my company has like a LinkedIn page and a Facebook account and an Instagram, all this and that, but they are completely under the company. But I find that I need to sometimes have that self-discipline when I'm in there doing something, that I'm not then wasting time, you know, scrolling through, just flipping over to my own personal account and flipping through and saying, oh, you know, look at that. So-and-so's got a new dog. Oh, isn't that cute? Cat videos, you know, crap like that. You just gotta, you know, get back to work, man.
Yeah, it's so easy to get sucked in.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Man,
100%.
Yep. Which means that the designers of these platforms have done exactly what they're trying to do. And for sure. But by the way, I don't think everybody should take the approach that I have, which is pretty much straight like. Abstinence. I think people can find a balance and just do that. For me right now, I'm kind of doing my own social experiment and not using them. I want to try to get to a year, as you know, from my personal accounts. I want to get to a year where I haven't even posted or said anything or whatever.
Wow.
And I'm getting close.
It's like you don't exist anymore. Yeah, wow.
Exactly.
But isn't it funny that that's the measure of, do you even exist anymore?
That's where we're at.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's bananas, dude.
But see, these will all be good themes for writing, honestly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, guys, we should do this. I personally think we should do this more often. I would love to connect with you and... Even if I think I have figured out the anchor woes, at least. I know I've got to use my iPad. Stay away from Bluetooth.
Perfect.
But I'd love to keep doing this, because I know there were some other people that were enjoying us putting these out. And, you know, it's just good to stay in touch with you guys.
Well, yeah, definitely. For sure. I'm game.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it. All right.
Need to get you guys out here to Milwaukee and those kinds of things. But
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
I love that.
Okay, so to sum it all up, here's what we're doing. We're going to take a couple, three songs, see if we feel like it's the Leader Dogs vibe, and if we feel like we've got seven more in us, then we'll do an album and put it out this November.
I'd love that. Sounds good.
Okay.
I like that.
Cool.
All right. Let's see what happens.
All right, guys.
All right.
All right, later.
See you.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.